Welcome, members. Welcome, everyone who's here. A reminder, please turn off the wonderful, delightful, very useful cell phones. If anybody finds Representative Wisnitz's phone, please let him know.
Do you want me to call you?
No.
What's your number? We'll call you. It's in the room.
We'll try that. Members, today we have two bills. Going to try to plug ahead with the Senate Bill 1068A. And if we have time left over, we'll hear additional testimony. If people have additional testimony they'd like to give on Senate Bill 1092A. So with that, I'm going to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 1068A. And Dana, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1068A requires school districts to offer half-day kindergarten free of charge. It requires public charter schools, if they offer kindergarten, to also offer half-day kindergarten. Permits school districts and public charter schools to offer and charge tuition for supplemental kindergarten. Provides for student transportation for half-day and supplemental kindergarten. It prohibits charging tuition for supplemental kindergarten for certain students. It provides for a partial or full tuition waiver under certain circumstances of severe hardship. It validates prior collection of tuition or fees for supplemental kindergarten. It applies to the 07-08, 08-09, 09-10 school years. It sunsets on June 30, 2010. It declares an emergency and is effective upon passage. We have an amendment before us, but I believe somebody will speak to it if they choose to.
Thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate it. Representative Olson, did you wish to come and weigh in on this? You bring reinforcements with you.
Absolutely.
It's the bearded guys. Welcome.
Welcome. See if I can move this one over here. Morning, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Andy Olson. I'm the representative from House District 15, which is Albany and North Benton County area. But today I'd just like to kind of just take a moment and talk to you about Senate Bill 1068, specifically the Dash 7 amendments. Not that I'm wanting to move forward with these now, but what I would like to do is to specifically identify some of the key points out of that I do believe are necessary to move 1068 forward. Let me just share what those things are. And actually, you can kind of follow them a little bit from the Dash 7s. And Chuck here will share a little bit more of the reasoning behind where I'm going right now with this. The first point would be that we would request for this to be moved forward with all-day kindergarten is estimated number of kindergarten students based on the 2006-07 school year. The second point would be the number of kindergarten teachers needed for a student-to-teacher ratio as recommended by the quality education model of 20-1. And that should include substitute teachers and teacher aides. The third point, Mr. Chair, would be factors to consider related to attracting and retaining kindergarten teachers, especially in rural areas. The fourth point is establish the number of licensed teachers who are eligible to teach kindergarten but who are currently unemployed or underemployed or unemployed. Number five is contact all school districts to determine potential capital to construction costs if additional classroom space is needed. Could include the purchase of portable classrooms. Six is identify all revenue sources currently used by school districts to fund supplemental kindergarten. And the last point being additional costs related to providing full day kindergarten, including but not limited to supplies, support staff, and administration. And it's with that information that we would greatly appreciate being able to have probably somewhere, I think anyways, this body would want to have maybe October. For consideration for the governor's recommended budget. But I just wanted to share that with you. I'm in favor of it, but I do clearly think that these are some points in a study that need to be conducted.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions?
Chair.
Mr. Wisnitz.
Thank you. Representative Olson, thank you very much for bringing these forward. I think we all agree that this is important if we're going to really look at this issue for Oregonians You did have other people help you with this as far as getting the data. Do you think this is the data that we legislatures can look at next session to make a good policy decision on, you know, what kind of kindergarten we can continue to offer for Oregonians.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Vice Chair, absolutely. I mean, if we're going to move forward with this, you're going to have to collect, and I've shared with some of the folks on your committee and listen to their thoughts too as well, but I just honestly believe you've got to have this data to be able to move forward and make a good, solid decision.
Additional questions? Representative Crowell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I just want to make sure I understand that the primary reason that we're not moving forward with the A7 amendments is because there would be a fiscal on it and would require this bill then to go to Ways and Means. Is that the reason why this is not why we're not moving forward on this and directing the department to get us the data?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Representative Crummell, that's correct. They're actually, from my understanding, the fiscal on that was estimated in the neighborhood of about $30,000. And I was from the Department of Education. Having talked with Mr. Bennett here, representing COSA, and he can testify in his own, you know, position perspective regarding this, but they're willing to do that without the cost. I find that rather interesting.
But and rather generous.
So, what did we appropriate to the Department of Education last year? Somewhere in the neighborhood of a few hundred million dollars, wasn't it, for their operations? And they can't, out of existing resources, couldn't put together this study?
I believe we'll hear, if the departments can testify today, that they are going to also assist in accumulating this information for us, and I believe they will assure us that we'll have this information for next session.
Okay. I would just like to say, Mr. Chair, I think that, you know, there's a couple of things that, with regards to the bill that I'm concerned about and I'm also glad of, but one of the things is that if this legislature is at some point in the future going to mandate kindergarten, and if they're going to mandate all day kindergarten, we better have the resources to do it. Otherwise, you know, I think it's a very stupid move. Now, if we want to make kindergarten, and actually, I would say if we're going to make kindergarten, rather than making it mandatory, making all day mandatory, make it half day mandatory as such as it is already, and make full day optional, and let the districts make the decision when they feel like they have the resources to add it and the demand. Let them make that decision instead of us trying to micromanage from here.
Appreciate your comments, Representative. Further questions? Let's check out.
Thank you, Chair Buckley. Just for on the record also, this past session, a few months back, we attempted to look at an age requirement for children. And I just would make us cognizant of the fact that if you're going to mandate half day, all day kinder, we might need to deal with a couple other things too.
Thank you for bringing back those memories, Vice Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I was just going to. The fact that we mandate the kindergarten doesn't mean we mandate the kids have to go to the kindergarten, so we wouldn't have to go back to that conversation.
Okay, thank you.
Amen.
Representative Wilson, thank you very much. You're welcome to stay and hang out with us and listen to what Mr. Bennett has to say.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my name is Chuck Bennett. I represent the Confederation of Oregon School Administrators. The representative has really outlined, I think, the issues involved here and the kinds of questions that are being asked. What we can do at COSA in cooperation with our partners at the Oregon School Boards Association and the Department of Education is pull together this information without having to go through a fiscal impact or any kind of additional public expense. A great deal of this information already exists in various places, both public and private. A big part of it will be pulling it together. And frankly, Ms. Chair and committee members, this is the information, I think as Representative Olson said, this is the information you're going to have if you're going to have a discussion of kindergarten. The bill that you'll be hearing as you go into the bill further will make clear that there's going to have to be a discussion of kindergarten in the way that we will bridge through this initial funding problem for the half-day portion of it, the second half-day portion. We're fully expecting a full discussion, and the issues that are outlined here are just key to that discussion. We hope to add to the list and provide you with additional information above and beyond this, but certainly Representative Olson and his colleagues have put together a really good list of issues that need to be discussed in advance. So just basic due diligence, I think, is going to require us all to pull this together and bring it before the committees. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bennett. Any questions? Vice Chair Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Bennett, also I'm sure that there's more data that we're going to need, including, you know, what we're going to test and how we're going to evaluate this, the old evaluation tools. So that's going to be a key factor. And again, back to my days and ways and means, I'm sure we want to know how other states have done. Let's learn from them. Let's don't recreate the wheel. What they've done and what's been successful and not successful. Definitely want to look at the outcomes that they've achieved with this, because it's going to be a big financial. We know that. We can do it. I think we want to do it for our children and our future. But all those are going to have to be data that we're going to, that's going to be data for us to make our decisions.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Wisnett, you're just right on the money. And I hope with that suggestion, committee members or anyone else that has suggestions for data points or collections that you need to have done, you'll just contact us and we can put it into the mix. I think as you think about this issue, we think about this issue, while this 7 is quite exhausting, we now have 8 with testing and what kinds of assessments should we be using on these young children and what kind of assessments are available to use on children this young. We'll have, I hope, additional requests for information, and we'll be more than happy to provide it. We hope to provide it, too, on a district-by-district basis, particularly as we talk about the kind of capital needs. And just as a plug for capital needs, this issue goes so far beyond kindergarten classrooms into whole other areas we really don't have a grasp yet. We aren't even clutching well at the full cost of the capital needs out in our K-12 system right now. So hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that in an even broader context.
Representative Rutland.
Yeah, and along that point, you know, one of my issues has always been kindergarten is a great program. I really believe in it. Looking at research, small class sizes in 1, 2, and 3 are probably have longer lasting effects than full day kindergarten. And so, what do we need building wise for those classes to be down in the, you know, the reasonable size in that 15 to 20 group in those early primary grades? That's going to also make big impacts on the need for facilities. And I think, you know, we need to look at where is the best bang for the dollar to get the best possible chance for all of our kids to perform well, and I think we need to look at all that as we keep going on this conversation. So hopefully.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Senator Walker has arrived.
Senator Monroe is here, too.
Senator Monroe is here, too?
Yep.
Oh, well, not together. Not together. The administration said, don't put them together, she said.
And who together? Oh, I missed the joke.
Monroe and you.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't need to be together. Yeah, we don't need to do that.
Senator Walker,
thank you.
Welcome, as
I mean,
always.
I like all my colleagues. But he has a difference of opinion, and he's pretty vocal about it, so I'll let him share it with you. I've already heard it.
Thank you very much. Welcome as always.
Yeah, thank you. Vicki Walker, State Senator, District 7, Chair of the Senate Education and General Government Committee, and pleased to be here. And I'm sorry I was late. I was been inundated with a little bit of a crisis today on many levels. So did you just start your hearing? I missed what happened here.
Yes, we just started. Representative Olson came forward with Mr. Bennett to talk about the Dash 7 just to let us know that they are not recommending we move forward with that. And that there is a strong desire amongst the COSA OSBA and others to get this information to the legislature without us having to pay for it, so, which is very nice.
That's always a good point, Mr. Chair. I think that's actually why my committee chose not to put it in writing. Well, I have to tell you, I'm not impressed with the Department of Education on this issue or some other issues and their forthrightness. And I'm not afraid to say that because I don't like the position they've put me in or any of you having to vote to say it's okay to charge tuition for kids to go to public school. I don't like it one darn bit. But I have to tell you that the department has never given us the information within which to make an informed decision about full-day kindergarten. We have no clue as to how many of the 197 school districts will need to build out classroom space. I can tell you I've been all over the state, and wherever I go, I stop in and see a school superintendent visit an elementary school, and I ask them that. There's not one superintendent or school that I visited who said, please don't fix this law. They all said, please fix it because we don't know what we're going to do if you don't. And there are some who don't offer full-day programs because they can't find the space for it. There are schools, districts, believe it or not, mine's a declining enrollment district, so is Portland and others, but there are districts who are booming. Bend Lapine is one of them, and they're struggling to find space for all their children. So these are the kinds of things that we need to know. We need to know how many you have in your district, how many potential children could be in your district. We need really hard numbers to make decisions about full-day kindergarten and funding of that. We've never had that information. When I asked for it in the interim when this issue came up, I got a bunch of junk. So, we're asking for this to be provided, whether it comes from the Department of Ed or COSA or whomever. I don't care. I just want the data. So, that's why I wouldn't entertain a motion to fund full-day kindergarten in 2009 or at a date certain, because we need the information. And, colleagues, we've been struggling with this for a long time. At last session, we've talked about this. I talked about it with Representative Comp. We had weekly meetings. We decided that we would invest the money that we had in Head Start. We got more bang for our buck. We put 3,000 more children into Head Start programs, but we couldn't do both. We only have so much money to work with. So, I'm not ready to jump headfirst into full-day kindergarten funding until I have all the data. And also, as you heard, I think you heard quite a bit of information last session on autism and special needs and the rising levels of those children in our schools and the expenses that are involved in educating these children. And they have a right to be educated. They have a right to be mainstreamed and have the same opportunities as all other children. But the federal government has failed to give us the money that they told us they would give us under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. So we are having to make up the shortfall, and the shortfall is rising because of the higher levels of need. So it would be inappropriate for us to bind the legislature in 2009 to a decision to fund full-day kindergarten without all of the data in front of us. Additionally, we heard testimony in our committee this week, I can't remember which day, about the rural schools, rural schools. It's hard for me to say that one. The Rural Schools Funding Act from Congress, and how they're not going to give us our money for these ONC counties. And they're going to have to whack budgets to do it. And we're going to have to pick up the slack, colleagues. We're going to have to pick up the slack for what counties can't pay for. And so you can't ask me to do this. So our committee didn't do it. We said we're going to bridge the gap. We're going to make it okay what you've been doing for a long period of time. Some districts have gone all the way back 10, 12 years or so. And we're going to make it okay to charge tuition until 2010, which gets us through the 2009 legislative session where we have to come up with a decision. But based on the work and the input I got from you all in the interim leading up to this session, we put some real safeguards in this bill. We are not going to allow districts to charge tuition for poverty, children in poverty. We're not going to allow districts to charge tuition for children who are in the care of DHS. We are not going to allow school districts to charge for tuition in hardship cases, and they're going to have to develop proposals and rules around what is a financial hardship. So I think we, you know, contrary to what you'll hear from my colleague, this is not elitist because we have opened it up to children of all stripes, colors, socioeconomic backgrounds. We're not leaving children out. Perhaps the ones who get squeezed the most, though, are in the middle class. I'm middle class. I can say that probably squeezes me, but my children are grown up. My daughter just turned 28 yesterday. So, but the middle class always sort of gets squeezed here. And that is a concern. So we're taking care of the ones who are the most needy, and the ones who have the most money can afford it anyway, but the ones in the middle struggle. And that's why we've left that sort of catch-all provision in the bill that allows districts to create rules around defining hardship. So I think we have done the best that we could do under the circumstances, Mr. Chair and members of this esteemed committee. Short of funding kindergarten to the fullest right now, I don't think we could do any better. And I certainly wasn't willing to throw these children out on the street. And I wasn't willing to press the issue with districts. I had some districts telling me, oh, we're going to shut our programs down, and others who said, oh, we're not. Well, you know what? I'm not going to play a game of chicken with school districts, and I'm just going to take it at face value that those who said they're going to shut their programs down if we don't fund it will. And also, we heard testimony, I heard it from Portland Public Schools, that they are recruiting now. They're enrolling children for next year. They begin that enrollment process in January. So last month, they started enrolling for 2009, and had we not solved this problem now, they would have not opened up enrollment for the full-day kindergarten, and where would we be? You would have seen hundreds and hundreds of parents out on the steps saying, if I want to pay for it, let me. Why won't you let me? So, and I heard that testimony as well. So I think under the circumstances, we've done the best that we can do. Again, I will just I need to put it back in the hands of the department because I think they need to stand up here and admit that they made a mistake, and that mistake was simply in issuing a memorandum in 2004 encouraging school districts to fund full-day kindergarten, and one of the ways they list that you can fund it is to charge tuition. Well, you know what? When you're issuing a memorandum like that, you darn well better get a legal opinion first that says it's okay to be doing that. Maybe if we'd have had that legal opinion in 2004, the 2005 legislative session could have made a decision then and there what we would have done about funding full-day kindergarten. So I lay it at the feet of the department. We've cleaned up their dirty work. I think we've done a good job, and I'm pleased with all the folks who finally come around here. You know, lots of folks were laying neutral on this bill, and I don't like people to lay neutral on something. Come on, just tell me you like it, you don't like it. They've all come out. The PTA supports this bill now. Stand for Children supports this bill. And I don't think there's a school district in the state who would tell you they don't support this bill. So I thank you for your time. I probably went on more than I should, but I've been living with this nightmare since before session, and I'm glad that we're finally reaching the end of the tunnel, only to see it come back in 2009. And, Mr. Chair, we've talked about this, you and I, and colleagues, if you think you're done, you're not, because in 2009, we've really got to figure out what we're going to do to fund kindergarten in this state.
Thank you, Sandra, for the questions. Thank you for overwhelming the committee.
Thank you, and I do want to state for the record, because some of the news reports that get written about this sometimes are not very clear. half-day kindergarten is mandatory and is free in the state of Oregon for every child who wants to come to school. Even though the school mandatory school age in the state is not, unfortunately, till the age of 7, but we won't go there because we discussed that bill last session. But I do want to assure parents that this in no way impacts the free, mandatory half-day kindergarten that all districts must offer. This is only talking about extended day supplemental kindergarten. And I did fail to mention that we also require in the bill that they must offer the core curriculum to the half-day, full-day kids as well. So you can't send a child to a full-day program where they're only signed up to go half-day and the child goes 2.5 days a week, yet two of those days are in the afternoon where they're not getting core curriculum. That ain't going to cut it. So you've got to offer core curriculum, and we also restated that you must provide transportation to these children as well. So I think we've covered it all, and I have to tell you, the committee administrator, Ms. Richardson, has been awesome to work with. I'm glad we're sharing her with you so that she can keep you abreast of what we're doing on our side.
Thank you, Senator. I want to thank you for your detailed attention to this and for your willingness to take all ideas into consideration. It's greatly appreciated.
Vice Chair Wisner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Real quick, thank you, Senator, for all your work on this and your enthusiasm and dedication to education. We all get attacked. What's the range that school districts are charging for the other half day of program?
I think that, Mr. Chair, Representative Wisner, it's about $250, $270. It's under $300 is the average.
Per month.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, I think daycare is a whole lot more expensive than that. And I think the kids are getting a real education when they're in kindergarten. And that's why people like the full-day kindergarten program. Though I have to tell you, I did a survey of my district, and I asked the same exact question I asked 2 years ago when I sent a survey out about kindergarten. Do you support full-day kindergarten? And it's about 50-50 in my district. About half of my district says yeah, and about half of them says no. So, you know, there's a lot of mixed feelings out here in the public about the value of full-day kindergarten and what it means. And so, you know, we need to do a better job of illustrating why it's important. And I've been to your district. You cover Ben Lapine, do you not? And they're one of the districts that struggles to find space. They have a nice creative idea. They took some of their kindergarten kids to the high school. And the high school kids absolutely love having the little ones there. So they use space at the local high school to educate the kindergartners, and I think it keeps the high school kids on better behavior when the little ones are around.
Thank you.
Anything helps. Anything helps.
Senator, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for your time. All right, bye-bye.
Senator Moore. Monroe, sorry. It looked like Moore's.
Horace Monroe.
You know. Seen one senator, you've seen them all.
Dean is checking with you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Or Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, first of all, I'm Rod Monroe, State Senator, District 24, Mid-Multnomah County and Happy Valley, and I'm a lifelong educator. I taught full-time for 20 years. I've been a college professor, high school teacher, and I'm the author of the Kindergarten Act that was passed by the Senate and the House in 1981. I was the Senate sponsor. Representative Nancy Riles, the late, great Nancy Riles, was the House sponsor. And that bill required every district in this state to offer half-day kindergarten. At that time, only 1 in 6 offered a kindergarten program, any at all. That's just 25 years ago. We gave districts until 88, I believe, the 88-89 school year to fully implement. So we gave them time. It was a phase-in kind of a thing. And today we have kindergarten programs in all states, in all districts in this state. Kindergarten isn't what it used to be. Kindergarten is not what it was when I went to kindergarten. Kindergarten is not just kind of play school with a nice nap. Kindergarten is an academic program. They teach science and math and reading, and we have evidence, tremendous amounts of evidence, that all-day kindergarten programs greatly enhance the likelihood of success in children as they move on. And I have direct access to that because I represent virtually all of the David Douglas School District. And when I was chairman of the board of the David Douglas School District 12 years ago, we instituted all-day kindergarten. David Douglas is one of the fastest growing districts in the state at 3% a year. They have space problems that make space for all-day kindergarten. David Douglas is the second poorest district in the state. In terms of assessed value per pupil, they're second poorest. 70% of David Douglas students are on free or reduced lunch. And the number of David Douglas students that are in various kinds of ESL programs that where English is not the language spoken at home is very high. So David Douglas is not your country club district, and yet they have afforded all-day kindergarten for 12 years with a growth district out of their budget, with the state only paying for half. I think that's appalling. I think long ago the state should have decided for those districts that want to have all-day kindergarten, not mandatory, for those that want to have all-day kindergarten, for those that have a school board and a community that says we want all-day kindergarten, the state ought to pay the same rate that they pay for other programs. That's my bottom line. Now, philosophically, I have a real problem with charging tuition for public education. You probably know that there are certain things about the American democracy that are different than other countries, different than other democracies. There are things that we believe in. There are truths that we hold self-evident that are different than some other countries. For example, we believe in civilian control of the military. Not all countries believe that. When Dwight Eisenhower ran for president in 1952, what's the first thing he did? He resigned his commission, took his uniform off. Civilian control of the military is a basic American principle. We believe in the separation of church and state. Absolutely critical. And some of us battle that all the time. Right, Mitch? Separation of church and state, though, is a basic principle of American democracy. You know, so when Governor Huckabee is elected president, we don't all have to become Baptists. It's a basic principle. And the other basic principle that's just critical to American democracy, that's different in almost all other countries, is universal free public education. Universal free public education. It's a basic pillar ever since Thomas Jefferson, first the father of public education, first came out with it. Now, charging tuition is not universal free public education. Charging tuition means that, except for those very poor that are exempt, that work, the working poor, and the lower middle class, which is most of us, have to find $250 a month out of their budget if they want their child to have the benefit, and there are tremendous benefits, of an all-day kindergarten program. That is wrong, ladies and gentlemen. That is un-American, and that is elitist. Now, I respect the work of the Senate Education Committee. You know, they were handed this thing in their pocket, and they've got to do something with it. And it's not their fault that a certain state official gave some information out a few years ago that the courts have ruled is inaccurate. It's illegal, not under current edict, it's illegal to charge tuition in this state, yet many districts are doing it. So what do you do if it's illegal to charge tuition and you have kids that are already in programs, they've already started up, and that at least need to finish this year? I would support letting them finish this year. But to extend it for 2.5 years, an illegal, un-American practice, is wrong. It's un-American. It's elitist. And we ought not to do it. You know, the option is to scale this measure back, let them finish out this year, or to phase in state funding of full-day kindergarten for those districts that want to offer it. I would not at this time support making it mandatory. Maybe sometime in the future, in a decade or so, we might want to do that. But, ladies and gentlemen, to just extend something that has been declared to be illegal against Oregon law, to allow it for 2.5 more years, is just plain wrong. I had to come and say that to you. I respect all those people that are dealing with this problem, And I certainly would like to see the day when every five-year-old that whose parents want them to be, him or her, to be in an all-day kindergarten program will have that opportunity. I immediately would like to see the day when those districts who have school boards that are progressive enough, like the David Douglas board was 12 years ago, to institute it, at least that the state would pick up their share. Thank you, and I'd be happy to respond to questions.
Thank you, Sam. Any questions?
Representative Clem.
Got just a couple. First, since I'm a Baptist, do I have to resign my commission as a Baptist if it wins?
I'm not a Baptist, but I'm a deacon in my church and very active, and you don't have to join my church either.
So, follow up. I mean, I presume you made the same floor speech, essentially similar, passed the Senate, you know, because people are in a tough spot. You know, do you feel the same way about, for example, tuition at University of Oregon, public school, public education?
No, I don't. Higher education is a whole different story. Free public education has never been extended to private education. In some countries, they actually do provide free higher education, but that's never been a part of the American democracy and is not today. That's another argument we can take on. I'm vice chair of the board of Mount Hood Community College, and I think community college tuition is way too high. I'd like to see it closer to zero, but that's a different issue than K-12.
So, the reason I ask is I philosophically agree that if we're going to have an offering in a public school district, that you should make it free. Problem is, I don't see a financing plan to make it free yet. And we probably will have one at some point, but it's not there yet. And so
I'm trying to lay the groundwork.
Right. The ideological thing doesn't really do me any good. And, you know, what I tell McKinley School two blocks from my house about what they're going to do, you know, beyond this year. And that's the challenge. Is I think most people probably share your ideological degree, but I didn't hear Thomas Jefferson distinguish between higher ed and K-12 and half day. He said public education, period. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in my book, I'm already a hypocrite for voting yes on that OUS budget last year. I guess I'm going to be a little more of one to try and get my McKinley school funded so those kids can go to class.
Thank you, and I fully respect those that don't agree with me on this, and I know that my position appears to be somewhat radical, but I really think it's true to the American principles that I've espoused.
I respect your position, Senator. Representative Lim?
Thank you, Senator. And I thank you very much for your passionate advocate for the public school system under the democracy, which I understand perfectly. But at the same time, in America, they have a freedom if they want to pay for their kids. The kindergarten, this is America, and why should the government forbid them to pay for it? Even though public education should be free, but the parents, they have a right to pay for it if they want to.
Only if they have the money.
If they have the money. So, additionally, usually the transportation already is paying for it, and at the same time, I forgot what I was going to say.
The bill has low income protection.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. There's enough provisions, such as low incomes, and it's already protected. And those who are willing to pay, medium or higher income people, you know, the government shouldn't tell them not to pay or to pay. To me, it looks like a more realistic democracy.
$250 a month on a low working class budget is a big hit. And by the way, my school district, David Douglas School District, does not support this bill.
President Roman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to commend you for being a school board member, something I didn't know before, and having worked also in the education business for a long time, I know how much time and dedication they put into that. But that's what I wanted to get to, because I know David Douglas. Our school districts actually worked together on some CAM programs a long time ago. And the concern is we have had difficult times with our budgets over the last number of years because we have this problem with not having enough money to give schools what they need. So you add something like all-day kindergarten, which David Douglas has done, and so the only thing that can be affected is class size. Or not doing other things. I mean, if there's X number of dollars and you have X much to provide, you're going to either raise class size or you're going to stop buying textbooks or anything else. I mean, there comes a point when the money isn't there, you have to make tough decisions. If we, and I guess what I'm asking is, how has David Douglas done that and kept class size and other things appropriate? Because I think, from my research reading, class size is more important for future success than is having a full-day kindergarten. So I guess I'm just asking you how...
Yeah, both are very important. How has David Douglas done it? I know because I served 12 years on their board. And we were very frugal. First thing, they are very, very lean on administration. Very lean. Every elementary school, first of all, they don't have tiny little elementary schools like in Portland District 1, maybe 150 kids. All their elementary schools are 500 or so, and they have one principal. Not one principal and three vice principals and other administrators. So that, and the district-wide administration is very, very lean. So that's one thing they've done. The second thing they've done is they've instituted teacher aides in classrooms that get above a certain threshold, 25 for first graders, 28 for third to fifth, and so on. And they get a teacher aide. Teacher aides are usually, they're often retired teachers, or they're people that just love kids and have some training, but they cost virtually nothing compared to what a teacher costs. And so that keeps the cost per pupil down. And because they've done that, they've been able to, with great difficulty, continue their all-day kindergarten program in every elementary district, a school.
Thanks.
Representative Greenlee.
Yes, I, Mr. Chair, thank you. I must say I agree with the Senator on the basic philosophical position, and it just shows an argument that I've been making recently in another area, that simply because you proclaim something as a right doesn't mean you automatically have to spend everything in the Treasury to deal with it. We have to make these choices. So consequently, well, not only I believe kindergarten should be free, and I believe university education, in fact, should be free for qualified Oregon students as well. I think in this case we really have to deal with this on an interim basis, and I certainly support this measure as a part of doing it. But I think the notion that free education, a common system of schools, is a right, and we have a little problem dealing with that common system of schools when some districts provide all day kindergarten and some districts don't. I mean, that sort of right away is a violation of our constitutional mandate.
Thank you, Representative. Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, thanks for your comments and your passion for this. Would you agree earlier, and I think you were here when we were having part of this conversation, with regards to getting data from the department or from other sources, and which actually I believe that it should come from independent sources, but that's, and it looks like it will now. But having the data to so that we know what the cost would be and what the capital cost would be and what the personnel cost would be to add full day kindergarten, would you agree that that's a good idea to get that information?
Absolutely, and I would advise you to start with the David Douglas district because they've had all day kindergartens longer than any other district. They've got students now that went through all day kindergarten that are now juniors and seniors in high school, and they've tracked them and they found that their success ratio is much higher than those students that only had a half-day kindergarten program or that had no kindergarten at all. And it's interesting to see what's happened. Those of us in education know that success breeds success and failure breeds failure. You give a kid a good start in school, you give them a boost so that they're at the head of the class, not the back of the class, they're more likely to advance. Some of us, you know, years ago they used to argue that, well, you don't really need to have kindergarten program because by the third grade they all catch up anyway. Mm-hmm. And absolutely the opposite is what happens. Students that have had a good preschool, kindergarten, preferably all-day kindergarten program, and they're at the head of the class when they hit the first grade, tend to advance. And it actually costs less to educate over the span of their school because they're less likely to use expensive remedial programs, end up in various kinds of remedial programs because they get behind. So, you know, I just am I'm a passionate believer in all-day kindergarten. It's a matter of us figuring out how to do it. At this point, I would not mandate it. I would simply say those districts that want to offer it, that's we believe in local control. We believe in local school boards. I spent a lot of time on one, and local school boards like to make these decisions, and I think they're best, more appropriate to make those decisions. But once they do that, the state ought to pick up its share of the tab, not the whole tab, but its share of the tab.
Follow up real quickly. Would you also agree that rather than having it mandatory for the students, that having it optional for the so a parent has a half day option or a full day option, do you agree that that is a
That's what we have in David Douglas right now. Not all schools, not all students go full day kindergarten. Some do. Some go to a half day program, and some don't go to kindergarten at all because kindergarten is not required in this state. We don't require public education until they get to age 7,
right?
Which is another issue.
We discussed that once or twice. Representative Quinn,
want to make sure you're starting to make some headway with me here. Your proposal would be grandfather people in through the duration of this year through June.
Those that have started paying tuition, signed up for that program. Yeah, fine.
Okay, and then for 08, 09, because we won't meet again until 09, you're saying stop all of them or require it all and find the money from cutting other parts of your budget?
Well, that would be the ideal. If your committee, in its great wisdom, decides to allow also paid tuition through the 08, 09 year, that would be much more acceptable to me than this bill, which goes clear up until 2010. And that would certainly give the 09 legislature every opportunity to deal directly with the issue with and keep an unbroken string of kindergartens available to students. So if you want to amend the bill to take out that last year, the 9-10 year, I wouldn't say a thing against it when it comes to that.
We can do it again, though.
Last word goes to Vice Chair Copp.
Chair, I'd like to have it on the record that, and I really appreciate Chuck Bennett and his offer on keeping track of some of the information, and that it would be interesting to compare how many districts, with the suggestion that's coming forth from the legislature, that they start paying for this rather than asking for tuition. If there's a change in those figures, that in 09 we can see what the update is on how many students were actually charged tuition this following year as compared to this year.
Thank you, Vice Chair Kump, on the record. Senator, thank you so much for sharing your time and your point of view with us.
Thank you. Look forward to working with you.
Tricia Yates and Tricia Smith will be a Tricia panel.
Mr. Chair, while they're coming up, may I ask you a question?
Please.
Is it your understanding that the 09 and the 09-10 school year was put into the bill more from a logistical perspective than anything else, because any statute that would be passed in 09 wouldn't take effect until January 1 of 10, so that would get us through that full school year?
That is the logistical consideration.
Thank you.
Thanks for clarification there. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Buckley, Vice Chairs, and members. Thank you. I am Tricia Yates with the Oregon School Boards Association, representing the state's 1,400 volunteer elected board members. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today supporting Senate Bill 1068. You've heard a lot of testimony about what's in this bill. It's a necessary stopgap measure to help school districts across the state who are acting in good faith to serve their students, their families, and their communities in providing tuition-based full-day kindergarten. Through no fault of their own, now they're in a situation where programs are jeopardized, and they're looking to the legislature to help with this bridge legislation that will help ensure stability and programming across the state. So we do urge your support of this measure. As was stated earlier, at the Oregon School Boards Association, we're happy to work with our partners at COSA and the Department of Education to get you the data that you need to make good decisions and come back in 09. So we pledge to work with you, and we urge your speedy approval of this measure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tricia Smith. I represent Oregon School Employees Association. We are also here in support of Senate Bill 1068 with you this afternoon, and you've heard a lot of discussion and had a lot of discussion on this bill already, so I will leave it at that. And if you have questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Concise and to the point. Thank you very much.
Questions?
Vice Chair Wisner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mrs. Yates, Senator Walker comment about the lack of legal advice from the Department of Education. Did your association question when this was issued first and allowed to do, did your association get involved in the legality of whether we could or could not charge?
Chair Buckley, Vice Chair Wisnett, that predates my time with the Oregon School Boards Association. I understand there was technical assistance provided to districts in 04, but I can also tell you that in talking to districts, they were often relying on legal advice they received. There's been no court consideration of this yet. It's an advisory opinion, but that's as much as I could share with you on that topic.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Representative Lim. I have more questions. When this bill 1068, Senate A engrossed, is passed, then by the time of 2010, June 31st, and then it will be effective, then parents, they cannot pay their tuition for their children attending kindergarten. At the same time, state doesn't have enough money to fund half-day kindergarten, whatever. And the parents, they want to send their children to kindergarten, they are not allowed to pay, then where we are, what we are doing? Are we doing the right thing to do? Or we are just, we are in a bit in a place of what, hard rock something? What
rock and hard place.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay.
Hard Rock Cafe Salem.
Would you care to respond to that?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Representative Lim, thank you for the question. The purpose of Senate Bill 1068 is to, as Ms. Yates indicated, is to give you the bridge to the discussion that the legislature will have in 2009. It doesn't presuppose that you will make any decision in 2009, only gives you the opportunity to have the discussion and decide how you want to address full-day kindergarten at that time.
Okay, that helps.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you both very much.
Thank you
for being here.
What about school buses,
right? Yeah. We can talk about school buses.
Things actually,
I know you can't do
it. Eileen Flynn and Chuck Bennett, please.
Mr. Chair, I want a clarification. You said Chuck Bennett, but hasn't he already been before us on this bill?
You know,
do we really need to hear from him?
This is actually his twin brother,
Fred?
It's the evil brother.
Charles.
Chuck
Charles. Who also, Charles. Who also happened to have a beard.
He was with a different person, and I'm able to say what he really wanted to say.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Maybe this is his
so
other
constraint.
Plan?
Yeah, this is the other side of the story. Mr. Chairman, my name is Chuck Bennett. I represent the Confederation of Oregon School Administrators. Thank you for letting me testify again on the bill generally. I hope that's clear. While we supported the approach covered in A7, we also wanted to testify in favor of the bill. We were very fortunate to have Senator Walker come in and I think take you through the rationale behind it. I did want to underscore a comment that Tricia Yates from OSBA made, which is districts rely in addition to ODE's memo or the information put out by the superintendent, their own, in many cases, their own legal advice. Tigard Tualatin School District testified, their superintendent testified on the Senate side that he had checked with three different legal panels of their choosing and hiring and received the same advice. So there is, I think that I would be unfair to those who are charging tuition to not say that it is not viewed universally as illegal. It certainly is debatable at this point among lawyers and has not been adjudicated. So the issue it will ultimately be moot if you can resolve this through the 2010, which brings us to Representative Lim's issue, which is then what?
and that is the big issue. I hope we can provide information that assists you in the then what. But I hope, and I listened carefully to Senator Monroe, who I respect tremendously, and his advice on education and his thoughts on education policy as a result of his experience is tremendous. But I would suggest to you, too, that if you're going, if that were the advice to follow, we should also look then at lottery of positions in kindergartens, which occurs in a number of districts where there isn't enough space for all the kids. The question then kind of becomes, I guess, you know, young people, the lesson is you pay for additional services, or here's luck of the draw. We gamble this stuff out. So, you know, this is a very complicated issue involving both tuition and space available. So this is something we need to talk about next session. There's no question about it. It is a complicated issue, and you're asking all the right questions for the 09 session. And take it, but we desperately need this to bridge the, to bridge through for 2,500 families of current five-year-olds. We hope at least 2,500 families of four-year-olds and 2,500 families of three-year-olds in the affected districts. I mean, there are thousands of families affected by your decision today who've made life plans based on the availability of this very high-quality service from our public schools, who would be thrown into real disarray if this is not bridged. And I think it's just a matter of good public policy when public policy has not been resolved to carry us through at least existing practice. And then I think we can really deal with it in the kind of detail I know Senator Monroe would like us to, and we would like to next session. Thank you.
Thanks.
Chair Buckley, members of the committee, my name is Eileen Flynn. I'm the legislative director for the Portland Public School District. I want to thank you for taking up this bill. It's very important to our school district. We have over 1,200 students in parent-paid programs. Our parent-paid programs actually provide more access for lower-income families in that the fees that are paid pay for the scholarships that go to those low-income families. If this legislation is not enacted, it is extremely unlikely that we would be able to continue our full-day program at those 23 schools because of supplantation issues dealing with Title I funds. We fund 35 our Title I schools, all have full-day kindergarten that's funded with all Title I dollars, and there's no general fund dollars that go into the 23 schools that aren't Title I. So it would be a $6 to $8 million hit in our budget if we were to have a full-day program across the district by pulling out the Title I dollars in those 35 schools. We believe the legislation through the waiver provisions, the hardship provisions, allow us to come up with policies that will get those families that don't qualify for free and reduced lunch but still struggle financially and allow that access for them as well. Our enrollment has been declining over the years, but we're starting to stabilize. Our kindergarten enrollment this year is 5% more than we had the previous year. So we know if we capture those students early, we can keep them in the public school system. 90% of our kindergartens classrooms are full day. That's the demand. We just had one of our big Portland Public Schools celebrate our school fair at the beginning of February. The kindergarten classroom that was set up, over 200 families showed up. About 5 1.5-day option. The rest wanted a full day option. The demand is there in our district, and we really, really are hopeful that this legislation will allow the legislature to time to come up whether or not the state's able to pay for full day kindergarten for districts that can offer it, or there's some other solution out there. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions, members?
I do have one. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chuck, you said that Tiger Tualatin had received legal information from three different panels, and they all told him the same thing. Were their legal panel saying that it was illegal for them to charge tuition, or that it was legal for them to charge tuition? I'm sorry if
that wasn't clear. Legal. they got illegal, if they got advice that it was illegal, I don't think we'd see Tiger Tualatin engaged in the practice, and they're one of the larger districts that has been doing half day. They really, the districts take this out. West Lynn Wilsonville, as you know, is one that has done tuition for, gosh, I think Superintendent Wall said something like 16 years, 14 to 16 years, and I am sure along the way they have been keeping track of how they do it through their school attorneys, but I had the specific testimony, and these are respected education lawyers, right. So I think this is one that, you know, if we all had the time and if we wanted to take a chance on these kids and their parents' futures, we could all go to court, but it seems like no reason to do that. This is such a much better solution from our perspective. And I would suggest those families as well.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, I have a question. I'm a little bit confused. Maybe you might be able to clarify me. Okay. I don't know whether you are confused or not.
I may be.
What's the definition between the half-day kindergarten, supplemental kindergarten? Is this all the public kindergarten education? And then what the bill says, you may not charge for the half-day kindergarten, but at the same time, that the supplemental kindergarten you can charge. So I'm confused. If it's a public education, then you shouldn't charge anything at all. That the, at the same time you may charge, you know, that supplemental. So where we are.
So if you'd like to respond, we also have the department here.
Chair Buckley, Representative Lynn, my understanding that a half-day kindergarten program, which is required to be offered by all school districts by state law, is a program that provides 2.5 hours of instruction a day. A full-day program is any program that goes beyond that. If I'm mistaken on that, then I believe at the ODE, there's someone here can answer that.
Okay, Mr. Chair, follow up.
Follow, please.
So the supplemental, the kindergarten is not considered as a public education?
Chair Buckley, Representative Lynn, you can make the argument that it is or it isn't. It. I guess it all depends on the definition of is.
This is it's a crucial topic.
Ms. Chairman,
if it was actually said in this room, did that actually get said here?
You want to go?
We roll back the tape on them. We do have the department coming up next. I'd like them to handle that question.
Okay. They're best.
Right.
Thank you, Chair.
Vice Chair Wizard, do you have a question of this panel?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Flynn, you don't worry about transportation for your students, and do you have daycare that the people that have their children in the full-day program then take the children directly to the daycare? How does that work?
Chair Buckley, Vice Chair Wisnett, many of our schools have extended day programs that go beyond the 3 o'clock, 2:30 dismissal. So if we're not having the full day programs in those schools that have those extended days, that would also be a problem for parents who would have to make additional arrangements, leaving work, providing for daycare for the second half of the day when they go to work. So that would be impacted. But we do have a lot of our schools, and I can get that list to the committee, that do offer extended after school day programs. We don't call it daycare because we continue instructional activities as well.
Good questions. And roughly what percentage of your, is that okay, Mr.
Please.
Is it what percent of your clients are doing the extended care? Is it roughly half the parents are putting the children in for all day, you know, through the extended care?
Chair Buckley, Vice Chair Wisnett, I don't have that information, but I will gladly get that for you as soon as possible.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We have Morgan Allen here, and are you going to come up solo, Morgan? And Cindy, you're welcome. If you ever want to come up, you're always welcome.
We miss you.
Cindy's always
welcome.
Mr. Allen, welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Morgan Allen from the Department of Education, and I'm just handing out the various testimony and facts and figures we've provided to both the Senate and House Education Committees in the past, and I suspect that there are some questions I may need to answer, so I'll go ahead and hit a couple of those first. To respond to Representative Lim's question, the question about what's public education, what the Attorney General and both legislative counsel said is that the extended programs beyond that 2.5 hours that some districts are charging tuition for are considered part of the regular school program and in essence are part of the free public education program, and you cannot charge for those. As you heard from Mr. Bennett and others, there are many districts, Wesleyan, Wilsonville, Salem-Keizer, Sisters, Portland, Corvallis, that have been in fact charging tuition in their kindergarten classes for at least 10 years and in many cases more than 15 years. And they have, we've heard at the Senate Education Committee and anecdotally from talking to those superintendents that they, all their attorneys, would have a different view of the statute than Legislative Counsel and the Attorney General's Office. So Senate Bill 1068 is an attempt to avoid a potential adjudication of that question and a potential disruption for the lives of those families and those kids. So I hope that answers your question.
It's not clear.
I think it is unclear that you have lawyers from the Department of Justice and from Legislative Counsel who are saying one thing, and you have well-respected attorneys in private practice, including the former Legislative Counsel of this body, who is the attorney for the Tigard-Tualatin School District, who would be able to argue the other point of view on that. So, other questions I heard, I'd be happy to go through the amendments. I had a good chat with Representative Olson about his draft A7 amendment. Of the 8 items contained in that amendment, we have either already provided that information to the committee or that information is very easily available through the quality education model. There are a couple items in the amendment that are not so readily available, and I'll point those out. Item 4, which is starts on line 14 of the amendment, the issue of school district capital construction. The department does not currently have the authority to compel districts to give us that information, nor are they required to share that with us. So in essence, we'd have to set up some sort of formal survey to go out and ask the districts to provide us that information. And I think what you heard from COSA and OSBA and others, that they're willing to work with us in a partnership rather than putting that into state statute, that would be best if we all worked on that collaboratively and got that information voluntarily. And then the other two items that I think would be problematic for the department are items 6 and 7, talking about teachers and the numbers of underemployed and unemployed teachers. Again, Oregon's a little bit different than some other states. The licensing of teachers and other things is done through the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, and the types of questions that are being asked in 6 and 7 would probably better be posed to Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, but I think what we could do is, you know, work with them in conjunction with some of the other education partners to try to get some answers to those questions. And so, you know, that's, I had a good discussion with Representative Olson and sort of explained that's where our fiscal impact came from, that about $30,000. Again, that's below the $50,000 threshold. It wouldn't need to go to Ways and Means likely, but it would be an expenditure for the department. And again, our point of view, and I think the point of view shared by the education partners, is that we feel that we've already made a commitment to the Senate Education General Government Committee and the chair and vice chair in that committee, and they felt comfortable with our commitment to work in a voluntary capacity and answer those questions. So that addresses the amendments, and then I would be happy to answer any other questions about what the department may or may not have told the school district in 2004 or any other statistics that we've provided with the testimony I've handed out with you. So I'd open it up to the committee for questions. And again, we're real appreciative of our education partners. It has been a difficult process, but the Senate Education Committee was great to work with, and I appreciate COSA, OSBA, OSEA, PTA, Stanford Children, and others who have really helped us, I think, produce the best possible bill that we could come up with given the situation.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Members, I am going to try to close off this public hearing as soon as we can so we can send this bill on its way today. But if there are questions for Mr. Allen,
just a tiny one. Morgan, would you please get me the data or the committee the data on how many, what, and I know I have peculiarities at request. How in kindergarten, in this year's kindergartners, how many are age 5, how many are age 6, and how many are age 7? So maybe we can put to rest another issue by just looking at the current data.
Right. Chair Buckley and Representative Gompa, I can check with our folks and see about that information. And again, that's part of, you know, in the A7 amendment, I believe number 2 was talking about the number of students who are eligible to enroll in kindergarten. And what we've tried to do for both the Senate and House committees is provide our best estimate of that. But because compulsory age is 7, right, and homeschoolers are not required required to register until they're seven, and we have no idea how many kids are in private school. You know, the numbers are a little bit of our best guesstimate, frankly, because we have to, what we do is sort of extrapolate, take, you know, last 5 years first grade enrollment and sort of come up with an average and assume that, you know, if you look how many kids are enrolling in first grade, you can kind of get a close to accurate projection of how many kindergartners are out there.
Just to follow up, well, it's just the peculiarity that some states have been known to keep their boys out of school a little longer, so they're a little bigger. So how many, you know, it's like so they can play football better later. But so it's just a curious question.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Any additional questions for Mr. Allen?
Vice Chairman,
real quick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Allen, thank you for your testimony. I'm sort of disappointed that the department, first of all, came up with us saying we got to charge $30,000 for this. Also, I hope when you answer the questions or provide us the information for next session, that we really answer this question from legal standpoint, Attorney General's office. What is required? How does... because you answered Representative Lim in saying that full day is required, but I'm not sure. Like you said, that's definitely open to interpretations. So let's don't go on the wrong path on this. Let's work together. Also, I disappointed at your comment about that's not your area. That's TPS, whatever they do.
TPS.
Yeah. We need to go to one source. You need to get that information from us. They are part of the state government system too. And I'm not sure what all they do, but they should be able to get the information to us. After 4 years in this building, I'm not sure what they do, but we need that information too. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wisden, I think the department has the good fortune of having Cindy Hunt as our legal affairs coordinator, and certainly her and I will make sure that all of the answers are vetted. And again, I believe TSPC and our other education partners are certainly willing to help us share that information. It's just the amendment, if we put it in statute, it would require the department to collect it, and we would have to sort of recreate the wheel, and that was what we were hoping to avoid, is just to get that on a voluntary basis. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. And Vice Chair, I'm sure that the teacher standards and practices will be before this committee during the interim and during the 2009 session as well. Any additional questions for Mr. Allen? Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for the thorough information that you provided. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify briefly on Senate Bill 1068A? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1068A. I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 1068A, and I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair?
Vice Chair Bell?
I move Senate Bill 1068A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Kopp has moved Senate Bill 1068A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Vice Chair Lim?
This look like a good bill, but I have some concerns and questions in it.
Mm-hmm.
That the 2010, sometimes parents just leave out in cold. If we don't act on it 2009, that's one concern I have. Second concern, we don't know how much it's going to cost. It seems to me I'm deeply concerned we are passing out the bill without knowing the all the cost, and then later on it's mandated, and then that we don't have enough money, then we got a problem. That's the second concern. And then a definition of a public education, it should be paid, but it seems to me this bill has a contradictory that the language is in it. Because of that, at this time I'm going to vote no, but I'm going to study more when it comes to the floor. I might vote yes at the time. So
thank you. Representative Lim is going to offer courtesy no. Very good.
I was considering doing that, but he took it.
Any further discussion? Representative Cremel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm concerned that we're not putting the A7s in so that we have, or something similar to it. I actually had hoped that we would get an independent study as opposed to putting it onto the department. Looks like we're going to get that anyway because it'll be close to an OSBA that's going to put that in. I think, but I do think that data is going to be absolutely critical to the legislature making an informed decision in 2009 with regards to full-day kindergarten. I would still resist moving the mandatory age to 5, though. I think that parents still need to have their choice until at least 7. But the other thing that I'm, I guess, a little bit concerned about is if this issue is not addressed, and then what happens because of the expiration in 2010. I guess if nothing else, the legislature will just have to do another bridge. I'm going to vote for the bill, but and it's not necessarily because I'm enamored with charging tuition, but I also believe that our parents need to have that choice, and this is one way of giving it to them.
Thank you, President. Thank you for the comments. Any further discussion? I'm going to have the committee stand in recess for just a moment. Representative Greenlick will be back in just a moment. We'll vote in just a moment if there's no further. Representative Roldan, since we've got time to fill.
But for waiting. And I guess my biggest is that, you know, I think as a state and as an education institution, we have continued to look at how do we spend our resources the best. And I think this has been a good conversation about whole day kindergarten. I'm one of those people who believes that it is one of the things that adds value to the system and helps kids. But before, you know, when we come to that 09 conversation, I hope that we also look at all the other research that indicates that other things may be more important. And, you know, that we really have that conversation and we don't let it get ahead of us, and that maybe this is an option we're going to continue for a while, because when it comes to the valued resources that we have for the state, we look at things and we find out that, you know, having lower class sizes is maybe more important, other kinds of things. And I want us to continue to have those kinds of conversations so that we do take those limited resources and use them the best possible way to get the best education for all of the kids in Oregon. And I just want to make sure that we continue to have that conversation, and that I appreciate this bill because it allows us to continue doing what we're doing, and it gives us more information over time. The stuff that Senator Monroe talked about with respect to David Douglas, I think it will be important to look at to see, did in fact those kids do better? And he seems to indicate that they do, and I would love to see that research that shows those, and we can get more and more information to find out maybe the Oregon solution is that the best spent money is that of full-day kindergarten. But before we institutionalize that and keep fighting those, let's make sure that we do the right things based on real information over time. So,
thank you.
But I think this is a good start.
Good points. Excellent points. Representative Greenlick.
Are we in discussion on the bill?
We're in discussion on the bill.
I just want to point out there are four schools in my district that are, at least four, that are impacted by this, and I need to go home with a yes vote.
You're about to have the opportunity, Representative. Any further discussion? Members, I appreciate all your comments on this bill. I appreciate the consideration that the Senate gave to the issue. It's a fascinating issue that kind of challenges our philosophy of public education and also the realities that our districts face and that our families face. And I agree that this is probably the best solution that we can come up with at this time. And I actually very much look forward to the discussions going forward and to see how we can resolve this in the most productive manner possible for Oregon students. And with that, I'll ask you please call the roll.
Aye.
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 No.
Representative
Groblin?
Aye.
Vice Chairman?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Wilson?
Aye.
Chair Buck?
Aye. The motion carries. Vice Chair Kopp, if you would be so kind as to carry this bill for us on
I
the floor.
I will do that.
I appreciate it. I close the work session on Senate Bill 1068A. Members will be carrying over Senate Bill 1092A to tomorrow. We have one more day. We're working on deadline. And again, I appreciate that.
There are amendments to that?
There are amendments being proposed for Senate Bill 1092A. Are there in your packet?
Which
ones
are the amendments?
They're in today's. I mean, we've got 4, 5, and 6.
Right.
Yeah.
4, 7, and 8.
Oh, where's
was 8? I didn't see.
Which
eight.
Ones can we look? Do we have to look at? Which ones?
I think they're all still up for grabs.
Representative, I would suggest that you look at 7 and 8. That takes some eight. Consideration to make mainly 7 is the idea. Just to let you know, in discussions following our hearing yesterday. Representative Greenlick actually came forth with an idea of a judicial discretion trigger in the process to see if a a judge would be able to not have the information passed on to the schools if the judge felt it was not in the best interest of the child who is under custody at the time. It's an idea that I think that deserves merit and attention and further discussion, and we will be discussing it tomorrow, and I welcome your views on it in the meantime if anyone wants to talk to me about it or has any other suggestions on this bill. But tomorrow we will open the hearing as close to one as possible, and we're scheduled for four to go to one. If we go up to one on the floor, we'll take a short lunch break, and we'll go right into this bill and hopefully be able to put it together and move it out tomorrow afternoon.
So the committee may still meet for any amendments coming back from the Senate, is that true?
Our committee will be finished after tomorrow. If we have to have a conference committee on any concurrence, then we will work with the Speaker's office on that. And with that, members, thank you very much. We are adjourned.